Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I am your host, Neil, and today I'm so excited. If I'm going to be a little selfish, it is a boyhood dream come true. What am I referring to? Well, today's episode, a bonus episode, I get to sit down with three amazing young men who are part of the Medford Rogues baseball team. Now, each will share their own experience on what it's like to be a Medford Rogues this season, some life experiences, and what it's been like to be almost like a rock star for the young boys and girls in this community of the Rogue Valley. I hope you're excited because, as I said, boyhood dreams do come true, and I hope you're ready because you know I am. Here we go.
Hey, come take a walk with me, not like you usually do. Do something different, eh? Put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind, eh? Open up your eyes, eh? Change your direction, change your perspective.
Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I am so excited. Boyhood dream coming true. Getting to sit down with three amazing athletes today from the Medford Rogues. I want to start with probably, I believe, the fastest man in the league. He is fifth currently right now, as of this taping, with 9 stolen bases on the season. And as I said, I think he is by far the fastest man on the team with a batting average of just over 300 in 300 games played. Help me welcome number 15, Trayvon Dorsey. And also, I'd like to introduce my other guest. We have three of them today. Playing third base, number 13. With 11 doubles on the season as of this taping, with a batting average at 328 from Vanguard University, Omar Ortiz. Welcome, Omar. And of course, last certainly but not least, the man, the myth, the legend. He participated in the 12th annual Power Showcase. He does hold a Rogues record for most home runs in one game. 8 home runs on the season currently from Vanguard University, first baseman, number 44, Max Mahone. My guest today, welcome in, guys. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Excited to be on the podcast.
Very glad to be here.
That's great. So we always like to start off with, what size shoes do you wear? So who wants to go first?
11.
11?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can vary. Sometimes I wear a 10 depending on the shoe.
Okay. So, Trey, thanks for that. And what brand of shoes do you wear typically, Trey, if you have a brand that you like to wear?
I just like wearing shoes. It really don't matter. I'm not big on, like, name brand. All of them do the same thing. You can walk in them, run in them.
Okay. I didn't know if you had a certain brand you liked. So, this could be a sponsorship opportunity. So, you know, that's why I was just kind of trying to think of that.
All right, I'll go for Adidas then.
Okay, there we go. All right, we've got some Adidas going on. Omar, how about you? What size shoe do you wear? And we'll go from there.
It definitely varies. To be honest, I'm kind of picky with what I wear. Most likely I'm around 12, but most shoes I'm 11, 11 and a half.
Okay. And again, same question, brand that you prefer, sponsorship opportunity could be on the line here, so just keep that in mind.
That's a tough question.
Oh, they're going to get tougher.
I would say, I'm going to go ahead and say Adidas right now. I mean,
okay.
It feels good on my feet.
Gotcha.
Feels
all right.
Good. Fashion-wise, it looks good. So.
Fashion-wise, I love it. There's a little fashion-wise in there. Max, how about you?
I got a gift and a curse. I'm rocking a size 14. Never been able to go to the mall, get some shoes. It's always on order, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow. That's a rough life.
Yeah,
it's a hard knocks life, even, right?
I don't get to shop very much when it comes.
So if there were shoes in your size and brand, you could walk into, you know, I don't know, Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. What are you rocking?
Oh, I'm always rocking the Nike Check.
Yeah, okay.
Pair of Nikes. Although, all right. With Omar, I do like what Adidas has done lately.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Okay. Awesome. So, guys, we'll do our best. Obviously, you know, if a question jumps out at you, and we'll just kind of round table it around, if that's okay. And hopefully by the end of this, most people will kind of pick up your voices and kind of go from there. So, first question I really want to lead off with is why are you guys playing? I mean, you guys could be anywhere this summer. Why the Rogues? Why playing here this summer? So, Trey, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I love the opportunity to come out here and play for the Medford Rogues.
right now I sat out of school, so I didn't have an opportunity to play at college because I had to sit out a year due to me being an engineer major, and most schools don't have engineering. So I got the opportunity to come out here. Max showed me the opportunity, talked to Sean Gallagher, he got me up here, things like that. And out here in Medford Road, it feels like more genuine to play. Like growing up, all I did was like, okay, the game over, win the next game. Oh, we play them, okay. When I come out here, I feel more genuine, like the kids love it, the fans love it. I feel like I'm doing more just than playing the game. I feel like I'm putting on a show for kids to look up to us and show them things of that nature.
I think that's a great answer, absolutely. And I know I can take personal experience in that too, as far as kids looking up to you. My nephew really has adopted the three of you. And I just want to say again, just publicly, how great that's been, that you guys have been quite the role models for not only my nephew, but I think for so many other kids. That's awesome. Omar, what about you? What brings you out to play?
Honestly, I just heard it was a great experience. I talked to most people after Joe Johnson had talked to me. He was like, hey, there's an opportunity in Medford. And I opened up to a little bit of people in the baseball culture, and they said it was just an amazing environment. Get treated like pretty, I wouldn't say rock stars, but we kind of earned it, you know, like what you were saying, what Trayvon was saying. We just work with the kids. I mean, we're open to the culture out here. We talk to parents. And we're not shy, which is good. So it's definitely a fun experience, you know, showing your talents out there to people, you know, to people that are missing out. So it's definitely fun, and it's a true blessing to be out here.
That's awesome. Max, how about you? I know you've played quite a bit of places, right?
Yeah, I've been now East Coast, West Coast, and even Australia. I've been to other continents, but
yeah.
I never thought I was going to be here, to be honest. You know, I'm graduated now. This was my last season, this past season, and you know, it was probably a month away from the start of it, and I still didn't realize I was going to be out here. But you know, Sean Gallagher, we go way back. I actually played baseball under him my junior year, and you know, he kind of told me that this is a great opportunity, and for me, this is my last chance. This is my last shot at, you know, trying to make a, you know, like a shot at minor leagues or whatever it may be. But you know, I'm so thankful that I came out here. It's been an absolute blessing, you know, playing with people I love, getting to know Medford and the people here. I mean, they're so genuine, and you know, this is going to be a memory for forever for me if it is the end.
That's awesome. And again, I think it's great that you've had an opportunity to come out. I mean, obviously you've had success on the field, and clearly all of you have even had success off the field as far as making connections and you know, being that rock star. I think one of you guys said that rock star kind of mentality. That's awesome. Walk up songs. I am dying to know this. How the heck do you guys, and anyone can go first, obviously, but how do you guys determine that walk up song, and what goes into a good walk up song?
A walk up song?
Like, yeah, Trey, go ahead.
A good, genuine walk up song, you got to think, you're like, okay, it got to be smooth. When I get up to the box, I got to be like, yeah, I'm ready to hit the ball. Or where you get the fans involved. Like, I chose a song by the Migos. A lot of fans don't know what it is. It's a rap group out of Atlanta, Georgia. So I was like, nah, they ain't going to understand that pretty well. So I chose Rodeo by Lil Nas. That way you get, like, the little country kind of vibe, but with a good beat still from, like, the Southern flavor on top of it. So I enjoy the walk up, give a little bit for the fans and things like that, and people talk about it.
That's awesome. I was actually noticing you switched up your walk-up song, so I appreciate you clarifying the change for us. So, Omar, how about you?
Honestly, it's funny that you asked that, because Trey and Max and I, we kind of have this talk where we like to let people know who we are as a person, as a ball player. So I feel like a walk-up really determines that, your style of play. I mean, it could be a rock, a alternative, rap, whatever it may be, but definitely something that gets the crowd going, something that gets you going as well, and just kind of like vibe it out a little bit. That's what I like to see. I love a walk up.
That's awesome. How about you, Max? Because you have what, Crazy Train right now?
No, it's okay. Iron Man.
It's Iron Man. Yeah, my bad. Right now. I don't know my Aussie very well, so sorry about that.
I've had a good mix in my 4 years. You know, I've had some hip hop, some, you know, some throwbacks, some Jagged Edge, but I've always wanted to do like a rock song. And I thought, you know, hey, Summer Ball. Fans out here, I was like, yes, let's go some Iron Man, and I've had some success with this. I don't know, I've enjoyed the walk-up song.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We did, yeah, that.
Shout out to Omar.
Did Omar help with that?
He might have
a little behind it. All right, fair enough. So we did that at work, at my work. We did a walk-up song, actually kind of inspired by you guys, believe it or not. Mm. And we had a big party at the company I work for. And so we had a walk-up song. My walk-up song was not nearly as cool as your guys'.
I will say I do have a surprise for the last few home games.
Okay. Well, there's a little tease. Yeah, there's a little tease. All right.
You can't play. Mind me asking, what was your walk-up then?
So it is, no, I don't mind you asking. I'm trying to think of the name of it now. Turn Down for What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. You know that one? Yeah, cool. Trey's laughing. He knows that one. I don't know why, but I really dig that track, just the opening part of it. So I do. So that was my walk-up song. So best part of the Rogue Valley for you guys? What has it been? I mean, how long? Well, first off, how long have you guys have been out here all summer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. So favorite part of the Rogue Valley so far?
The favorite, I really don't have a favorite part because I love the whole area. Like, I love the view, love the scenery. The weather is great. People are great. So I really can't choose a favorite because I love everything equally.
Okay.
Favorite part, it's all green out here, honestly. Well, I'm from a desert area from Vegas, so coming out here is kind of a culture shock, seeing all the green, but... probably Immigrant Lake. I'm a huge Immigrant Lake fan, so definitely a fun experience being out there in the lake, taking out the boat and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that is always a good time. Immigrant, did you do the water slides at all while you were out there?
No, I actually didn't. We actually did just some water skiing.
Okay.
A little bit of tubing.
Tubing.
A little bit of tubing, yeah, too. Surfing. That's fun, too. So, yeah. Good times. Yeah. Max, how about you?
I've got to drive across the United States at this point already, you know, moving out to California.
Right, yeah.
I've seen a lot, and I will say, you know, the Rogue Valley area, I really, really like it. I actually came out here in the wintertime, so I got to see some of the, you know, the ski resorts and stuff like that. I could definitely see myself maybe getting a little vacay home here.
Whoa, all right. Little Oregonian, maybe. Who knows? Yeah, okay, all right. Fair enough. Okay. Craziest thing or craziest superstitions. Do you guys have them? Are there a thing? I've heard baseball players have crazy superstions.
Trayvon, hit him with the A today.
What do you got, Trey? What is the craziest? I want to hear some crazy superstitions because I feel like you got one.
Me and Max, every day we live out together in the host family and out at Eagle Point, and we have a set regimen that we do every time we wake up in the morning.
What is it? Is it too detailed?
It's
you can't go
detailed.
Into okay.
It's very detailed, so.
What hit us with it? What do you got?
All right, we wake up in the morning every time around 8:30 every single day. Get ready, get prepared to leave. As soon as we leave, we have to go to Dutch Bros. No matter whatever time it is before the field, it can be 2 minutes before the field, 5 minutes before the field. We always go to Dutch Bros.
When we we always use Dutch Bros. And we like go get Dutch Bros. When we come in. All right, so every time we leave, we go to Dutch Bros. Get Dutch Bros. When we leave Dutch Bros, we go get something to eat, depending on Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, and it don't matter. But Jalapenos was a spot for multiple games. We got it, like, I think it was, like, some odd, like, 20 games in a row. We ate it every day because we were hitting good, playing good.
Yeah, we started to hit real good.
We had a win streak. So we just kept doing that every day. And the regimen obviously changed when we started losing and things of that nature. So we had to switch it up because, like, superstitions good and they're bad. So.
Okay. All right. So we Omar, what about you? Craziest superstitions?
I wouldn't say I kind of grew out of it, honestly, just having a superstition because I felt like it was kind of messing with me mentally on that. But I would say I have things to do that will feel like I'm mentally prepared to be ready for a game. Like, I'm going to be honest, I'm the type of person where I like praying or, like, talking to God on my free time when I'm alone. People don't really see that, which is fine by me, and people don't know that, but that's something I really do. And believe it or not, it's, like, one of the most important things in my life. But honestly, sometimes washing the same – wearing the same sliders, same socks, I mean, whatever – of course, washing them, but –
Yeah, I've heard rumors that stuff isn't getting washed this season, so yeah, we'll just leave that alone.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to jersey or pants, I mean, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't wash them just because I feel like I want to stick with the same mojo. But other than that, I mean, just superstition. That's what it is for me.
Okay, Max, how about you?
Yeah, I always go back and forth on the old superstitions. I think it's a fun part of baseball. I think, you know, getting to know people over the years, it's definitely a part of baseball, without a doubt. But for me, I mean... I don't have a set-based ritual. I like always make the joke, you can't always play good, but you can always look good.
And, I like that. That's a good phrase to live by, even.
You know, we always go back and forth on our look. We mix it up. You know, in the first few games, we when we got here, we didn't hit all that well. We were wondering, you know, maybe if we do double tape on the wrist, or we'll go arm sleeve, or we'll go, you know, whatever it is, we kind of wait, and then once we have a good game, we kind of ride it out and try to look the same after that. So I think we've got down the look at this point in the summer.
I think the best look was the naked look, the no wristbands.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, on a family program, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. It was like, for you people out there listening.
Yeah. What is the naked look defined?
Naked looks means like, so when Max and I, we talk about it, it's like if we're slumping or whatever, we're like, okay, we got to give the people like who we are naturally. So we don't wear any like any arm sleeves, any wrist tape, no bracelets, no wristbands, no anything like that. So just straight, just who you are out there. So
yeah, I like that. You know, I never played baseball. I mean, I played baseball as a kid, but I never like was on a team. I was never good enough. The reality, but I, as a runner, I had kind of a ritual as well. I ate the same food, I wore the same clothes, washed them. I listened to the same. This is gonna date me because you guys are young kids, really, in my mind. I listened to the same 5 tracks before I ran. I would never step in the third lane on a track. I would always rub the number 4. It's my favorite number. So Max, that's why I identify with you, I think, so well, because you're 44. But anyway, so that's I'm familiar with sports superstitions. I love digging into that with you guys. That was awesome. Speaking of numbers, is there a story behind your number that you're wearing currently? Now, Omar, I know you have a good one. Yeah. You told me that, and I really want to hear that. So, Trey, how about you? You got a story behind 15?
15 really is not my number. I always grew up wearing 44 because I love Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron is one of my favorite baseball players ever, so I always wore 44. And sadly, when I got to high school, it's like the bigger the number, the bigger the jersey. So I'm a little guy.
Yeah,
so
I was just going to say, you're not a max guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm no offense, guy, but so yeah, okay.
Switch up and get 34, which was kind of heart-wrenching because, like, from 4 all the way up to high school, I had 44 on my back. And then when I put on 44 in high school, it was like a dress on me, so I had to go down the number.
Okay. Other than that, it's all right. Big. Well, you got 1 minus 5. You got 4 in there still, so that's good. All right. That's true. All right. Omar, I love this story about your number. So this was revolutionary to me, by the way. So I'm really building it up here.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Tell us why 13.
There's a little bit of pressure now. But anyway.
It is.
So the reason why I chose number 13, I don't really have a set number. Every year I have a different number. Reason being is because growing up, I had a coach who I was kind of picky with my number. And he was like, why are you picky? Numbers identifies who you are, and you need to set a mark. So every year, I chose a different number just for being that number 9 or like that number 13, and be like, who is that? And like every year, I just want to be identified as who I was, and not just by a number. So pretty much, 13 was this year, and coincidentally, A-Rod is my favorite player as well. But other than that, the real reason being was because I really want to set who I am as a person on the field and off the field for that reason. So yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that's a great story, right? And I think you even said in previous conversations, the fact that everywhere you go, you want to leave that mark. And I think that to me, not only speaks about your baseball career, but obviously for you as a person, you really want to leave a mark everywhere you go. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Max, how about you? 44, was it just the, like Trey saying, it was the biggest jersey we could get you in? I mean, how did that go?
It might be the biggest jersey, who knows? But that is not the exact
reason. Okay, all right, fair enough.
So actually my name, Max, has 2 X's in it because, you know, my parents thought they were pretty funny. I was a big baby, so they decided to give me an extra X on my name. Ha, ha, ha. Well, for me, you know, since I have the 2 X's, I always liked repeating numbers. So whether it was 33 like I had in junior college or, you know, 44, it's just something that always stuck out to me. So I always try to have the repeating numbers. And I actually kind of want Omar to try out 00 because he, you know, has 00 in his name.
There you go. That would be funny.
Maybe next year.
Well, there you go. There's always next year. Absolutely. I like that. 00. I like that. Greatest moment so far this season and maybe worst moment so far this season. If there's been some highs and lows, I mean, I'm sure there have been. It's been a challenging season in a lot of respects, a lot of success. But have there been any great successes and maybe some not so great successes? All right, Trey's up first. Leading off like you normally do, so that's good.
Yeah, do let them clean up.
No, yeah, I kind of noticed that. Actually, we kind of were sitting in a little, well, minus me. I'm not a good 3-hitter. I should probably be where you are because I can't hit.
You can bat 2-hole.
Okay, all right, there you go. Well, yeah, absolutely. I could bunt. I can't do anything else, but I think I could bunt pretty well. But anyway, yeah, highs and lows, Trey.
the highest moment for me is not necessarily on the way I've been playing or like a hit or a certain aspect of the game. The highest for me is like feeling my body out, feeling myself getting better every swing, every time I go out on the field. Like I practice my swing a lot. I came here pulling off very bad swing, but I'm athletic, so it worked so far throughout my life. But I like getting a sense of feeling like I'm actually improving my game more each and every day. A low for me is like the sense of not improving or not being able to reach my full potential. For example, like when I'm hurt, I don't like playing and then feel like I'm like half in that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like not giving my full effort out on the field at any moment. And also when like people's watching, like people look up to us, people like we said earlier. And it's like when you go out on the field and just perform bad, obviously everybody has a bad game, but like you're feeling like you're performing for more than just yourself. Like you're performing for the little kids, the fans, the people to come out here and support us. So that's how I feel like it's one of the lows for me.
Yeah. Omar, how about you? I know you've, I mean, not to sound mean, but I mean, you've had some struggles. That's what I'm trying to get out there. Struggles hitting at times, right? Yeah. And playing third. I mean, you're getting some shots down the line. So, I mean, highs and lows for you. Yeah.
So we'll just go off the struggles first. I mean, it's kind of normal, I would say, for me to start off kind of slow. I mean, every year is a new struggle for me, knowing how to actually cope with it, cope with failure. And that's one thing I feel like that's always thrown at me, just trying to cope with failure and understanding that this game is just not just a life, that you need to really have fun with it, and just really change my perspective towards that. And this summer has really changed my, like I said, my perspective with having fun with the game and really accepting failure. But yeah, I mean, like you said, like this year and this summer were beginning, even like midway through the year, I was struggling, and right now I'm figuring myself out again and really trying to cope with it. So yeah, that's, I would say that's my struggles or failure. But on the positive note, Max and I did hit a home run the same game, and that's been our goal since even through our school or our college year, our college season. So that's always been a goal, and we felt really excited to really come through with that one. So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It only took us 80 games.
Yeah, not too bad. But we had the father-son moment.
Yeah, the Griffey Junior Griffey Senior moment. Yeah. Huh? Okay.
It was Griffey-esque.
Griffey-esque. Okay. Fair enough. All right, Max. How about you? Highs and lows.
Oh man, you know, starting with the high. To be honest, playing out here, I've been completely high the whole time. It's just been a great feeling. You know, the fans, you know, sometimes I show up, you know, maybe I'm a little tired from all, you know, the whole summer, but you know, I flip a switch when you know, I see all the fans come out. It's great playing here in Medford, and you know, I'm lucky enough to be playing some good baseball. Finally got my swing lined out after the first like 2-3 weeks, and you know, I'm just enjoying every at bat, every pitch that I get, because you know, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, some of these guys are gonna go, they're gonna go back to college, and they're gonna have a couple more years, and you know, me maybe not. So I'm cherishing everything I get. But lows, I don't know. I'm too competitive. I'm too competitive sometimes. I think you know, some of the games I feel, you know, we could have had that we kind of, you know, screwed up on, and you know, it eats at me a little bit. Yeah, it's summer ball. Some people say, oh, it doesn't really matter, but you know, whatever I'm doing, I always want to do it to my best ability, and I want to win. So yeah, that's really much it.
You want to create the highlight all summer long, and no matter what you're doing, you want to always be creating that highlight, that moment, that signature at bat, maybe play on the field. You've had some great plays in the field too, by the way. I mean, you really have. The stretch at first, as we look out at the diamond from the Rogues facility right now, but yeah, I mean, just he always is creating highlights in a lot of ways, and really all three of you really are. I mean, that is just, again, I think a testament of your playing ability and just your ability to be great people, again, as we repeat, on and off the field. So how much would a championship mean to you guys? And not only you guys, I know you can't speak for other teammates, and I would never ask you to speak on someone else's behalf, but how much would a championship mean to not only you personally, but maybe even the Rogues themselves?
A championship would mean a lot to us, to the simple fact of like, this was a great team this year. Like, we have great chemistry as a team. And then, like you said, other people, they ain't going to have an opportunity to actually win a championship. Most people probably haven't even won a championship or a nat, like, or region or something like that in high school. So people really don't have the opportunity to play championship experience baseball.
Right.
Like, things are high stakes or high fans or everybody's just in it, ready for win for everybody. So I think it'd be great for us to win one for the Medford Rogues.
Trey, have you won one in the past, anywhere you've been, any place you've played? Did you win a championship?
I was the lucky guy that got blessed. I grew up with a lot of great talent, and on my travel ball team, we won multiple championships, like 4 travel ball World Series. We've won out of St. Pete, Florida, Tampa, Florida. We won one in South Haven, Mississippi. So I've been blessed to have like great players and great coaching around me.
That's awesome. So you have some kind of championship pedigree to your name, so to speak, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. Omar, how about you? What would a championship not only mean to you, but probably the Rogues as well?
I'm going to go ahead and just go based off what Trey said. I mean, I totally agree. Winning a championship is pretty much really valuable to, I would say, any athlete. I mean, that's what most people work for other than being a professional. But playing in the championship atmosphere is just a whole new ball game. I mean, people are really into it, and nonstop yelling, and your dugouts nonstop cheering and rooting on for their guys. And just, just for the winning a championship would be just amazing, just for the Medford, the Rogue Valley. And just, it would just be awesome and just open up eyes to people and open the eyes up to kids. And just, yeah, and I think the best part would be dogpiling and looking over the other dugout and looking at upset faces, disappointed faces, faces of defeat, and that's a good time. So
yeah, I mean, we're coming into the last week of the season, right? You guys most likely, if it all plays out, right, we do our job. Well, you do your job, not my job, but you do your job, right? Potentially, there could be a matchup with Top Speed. I mean, I know you probably don't want to go too far down that road. We want to go game at a time, but you know, as we currently sit, it could be Top Speed, right?
That's exactly.
Okay, so Max, speak to that. What would that mean? Not only winning the championship, but beating Top Speed, because they've had you guys a few times this year. Not to dog you, but they've had you a few times this year.
They're a competitive ball club, and you know. When we played them, it gets a little edgy, a little chippy. You know, it's arguably the two best teams in the league, and it's going to be a dogfight. And you know, obviously we have to handle our own business to get there, but we do want to go through Top Speed if we are going to win the championship. We don't really want anybody else. We want to beat Top Speed kind of on their own terms.
Yeah, and so championship to you would mean what?
Oh, I mean, championship, that's the reason you play. I don't care if it's YMCA Rec League or collegiate summer ball. I mean, it's the championship's championship. You know, I've been blessed. You know, I've high school, I graduated state champion, Juke World Series. And, as a ball player, you train, you practice, and, you play for meaningful baseball. And, championship, that's it. That's what you play for. That's what you dream for. And, hopefully we can get in there and, capitalize on the moment and enjoy the summer and give it up for the Rogue Nation.
Absolutely. So you guys talk about preparation. What has been the single most thing that has probably helped you prepare this summer specifically, maybe training or things like that, or maybe technique? Trey, you've mentioned a few times, you worked on your swing. What has really aided in that regard? Who wants to go first on that one? Trey, leading off again. I love it.
What really helped aid with the regard of like self-preparation is a routine you build for yourself. Like, each player has their own routine. Some kids would probably stretch 30 minutes before anybody else even get here. Some kids stretch 5 minutes before the game. It just depending on how you feel with your self-routine. A lot of self-preparation for myself is, like, mentally making sure I'm there. And two, making sure I stretch my legs and things like that. Make sure I'm getting out there stretched out. And always have fun. That's one thing I'm big on. Self-preparation, always making sure I'm having fun. When you uptight, like, you tense up on the field, you start to overthink things, and like one small thing can start eating you up. And like mentally, like this game is a mental game. As soon as you get in your head, is you basically already defeated yourself before you even came up to face your opponent.
Yeah, Omar, how about you? I mean, what do you think the maybe one thing or maybe a few things that has really helped you this summer really be maybe a better ball player too?
I would have to say just not forgetting who I am as a ball player. First off, I mean, when you have those breakdown moments and you kind of ask yourself, like, hey, like, what am I doing here? Why is it that I'm playing? So far and so forth. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest reasons, and just like being mentally prepared. And to me, what helps me is I take this game very personally. I mean, this is my life, and this is what I want to work towards. If I had the choice to play this the rest of my life till I die, I will. I mean, I would love to die on the baseball field if I had to, but just also having fun and just knowing that, hey, like, this is war out here, and there's no such thing as losing, but at the same time, you got to have fun with it. So I would have to say that's one of the biggest things, in my opinion.
Yeah. Max, how about you? Because you talked about working on your swing and finally getting it dialed in. What helped in dialing it in, the process of that?
As much as it pains me to say, maybe, I'll have to give a little shout out to Sean Gallagher.
There's no pain there. I think he has done an amazing job this year. Can I talk about Sean for a quick second? Then I want. I've been coming to the Rogues games for like 5 years now, since the Rogues started. And I got to be honest, when they hired Sean, Coach Gallagher specifically, not to bash the Rogues management by any means, but I questioned it. As a fan, I questioned it. I'm like, who is this cat that we just found? You know, St. Mary's background, right? And he's done some other things. And you have obviously a lineage to him back in the West Virginia area, right? And so because of that, like, I'm looking at a name on paper. I'm like, who is this guy? But the very first game, you guys came out and ran. And I don't mean like they're out running and that's baseball, but no, you guys are running on the base pads, you're stealing bases, you're hustling. You know, I'm like, okay, there's something to this guy. So talk about Sean and then maybe how that's helped your swing.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as I'll just get the swing over with, he just you know, he knows my swing, he knows my capabilities, and he really just knows how to tap into, you know, my true potential. And you know, sometimes, you know, especially through high school, you know, we, like I said, we won state and our coach was, you know, very productive, but the way he would teach it was productive outs and, you know, punch to the other side, and he had these theories, and you know, it gets wins, it's good, but what makes Sean different and what's, you know, such a pleasure to play through, like, with him is, you know, it's a brand of baseball that it's always your best swings. It's your best potential. It's a freedom to play. I mean, it doesn't matter what you go up there. You have three swings in that bat, and, you know, he'd be happy to see you take three great swings no matter the result. And when you can kind of focus in on just doing that, results come. And like you talk about, yeah, we run the bases. Even I steal bags, and I have no business stealing bags.
Which is what I'm alluding to, even, because I think in that first game you might have had one or two stolen bases. I'm thinking, who is this big cat out there, Max Mahone, out there stealing bases? But yeah, there we are.
Oh, it's a different brand of baseball, but it's fun baseball. It's a show. I don't want to play any other way. And you know, he's really made us buy in, and we've had a great summer. I mean, a lot of kids, you know, they're saying, you know, this is one of the funnest times they can remember playing baseball. And that's ultimately what it's all about, is you know, finding in yourself who you are and, you know, tapping into that potential. And then once you see it, man, you can't help but smile and come out here every day and enjoy it.
But just on Sean a little bit, because I know you know him personally, obviously, and you've helped in a lot of respects, like with his younger teams and things of that nature. You guys have gone out and kind of helped coach and be role models for those younger kids, which, again, I just think, again, that's awesome that you guys are able to give up your time to do that. Because let's face it, if you're not playing ball, maybe you'd be sitting around playing video games all day, right? But you're actually trying to get into the community, be a part of things. And I think that, to me, again, just is an amazing ability to be able to do that. But Sean has a gas house, right? And so he's really working with kids in the Valley to really get them to be better ball players, getting those three great swings that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, he is a blessing to the community. You know, anyone in Medford, it doesn't matter what the age, you know, it's I've played baseball East Coast, West Coast. I've met so many coaches, so many different philosophies, and you know, yeah, it works for me, but I've seen him take multiple kids from any age group, for any, you know, it does not matter. And you know, he figures it out, and you know, he's passionate about it. That's the biggest thing, is he's in your corner from day one to the last day, and there's no hard feelings. He's never going to sugarcoat you. I mean, right. It's straight to the, you know, straight to business. And when I say it's sun up to sundown for Sean Gallagher, it is sun up to sundown.
Yeah,
the guy gets after it, and you know, it's just, it's a blessing to have a guy like that in my corner. But you know, I hope that anyone who gives them a chance, you know, they'll see the exact same thing. And what they have at the gas house is very special. It's gritty, it's, you know, it's got character, but you know, you're getting exactly what you put in there.
Yeah.
And the gas house is our hidden facility where we go and train.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, right, that's kind of the secret layer of the Rogues, almost, right? In a sense, right? The bat cave to bat some cave. Okay,
just
fair enough.
Ping pong table,
yeah, absolutely. It does get a little and probably even competitive, right? Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. This is a fun question for you guys. Craziest thing, and I Max I channeled you on this, by the way, so maybe you want to lead off here. We'll kind of switch up the batting order. I don't know. Okay. Craziest thing a fan has ever yelled at you from the stands, And obviously we want to keep it, if it's R-rated or anything like that, we obviously probably don't want to yell that, but well, what's the craziest thing you've had a fan yell at you?
I will say, as the summer has gone on and I've met a few people, there's been some crazy things that have been said, but if we're going to go hands down, would be out of nowhere. Mr. Neil here saying
shout out, yes,
likes Twinkies.
What happened during that at bat, by the way?
I might have hit a home run.
Okay, all right. I'll take credit for that home run. So,
and then the next, you know, month after, I hear it all the time. I even work kids camp and I wore a purple shirt and they call me Purple Twinkies.
Wow. So it's spreading.
You, my friend, started a trend.
Is it trending on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, I'm gonna start a Twitter campaign then. I just embarrassingly admitting that I signed up for Twitter just yesterday, so I'm behind the times. Omar, how about you? What's the craziest thing maybe somebody's ever yelled at you this summer, specifically to this summer, if we can?
Nothing too crazy, but I would have to say it's kind of funny when you're up at the plate and you take a bad swing or whatever it may be, and your own fans are kind of on you a little bit, like, hey, like, keep your eye on the ball, or like,
it's not that? New York, yeah, but it's close, huh?
We did talk about it. This is kind of like a New York environment, which is right. Really cool.
That's funny.
Like, oh yeah, I would have to say, like, when you're up at the plate and you kind of embarrass yourself a bit, and your own fans start heckling you, so that's always a good time.
That's funny. I didn't know we had a New York atmosphere in Medford, but that makes me laugh big time. As a sports fan, that makes me laugh that we're of that caliber. Yeah. Okay. Trey, how about you?
I'm with the same thing Omar said. I really ain't hear nothing too crazy yelled at me besides when I go up to a bat, I hear left hand from Mr. Neil here.
Oh, you're going to call me out on that too. That's twice now. Yes. I'm getting called out. Now, explain left hand. You got to explain this. This is awesome. We're going to take some time. This is a great game. By the way, my daughter and I were camping recently, and I know you guys know my daughter as well. You guys have taken pictures with her. She left-handed me like 6 times during the weekend. So, Trey, I'm not thankful for that. But explain left hand.
All right. Left hand is a game I grew up with. Me and like 15 of my friends came up with a game. It's called left hand. So basically anything edible, not in no inanimate objects, doesn't count, but anything edible like water, drink, sandwich, fries, or anything of that nature, you're able
Frosties.
You're able to left-handed means like if it's caught in your left hand, it's free hand. You call left-handed, they have to give it to you. So
yeah,
it's a brutal game, you
know. It's brutal.
You can be vicious to your friends.
Yeah.
Like, you can take it, eat it, you can pour it out, do whatever, but it's like a fun game you can play with your friends and stuff like that nature. And back on what we said, I'm going off what Omar has said. Really ain't hear nothing too crazy from the fans. Sometimes I hear, like, I'll be sitting in the dugout and I hear, like, the little kids talking about, oh, number 15 or Mr. Funny had jumped over the first baseman and stuff like that. And it's funny that I hear it.
Gotcha. That's awesome. So, okay. We're going to kind of sort of try to transition to a home finisher. We're rounding a second, so to speak, if we are heading into third. So what does it feel like at the end of the game, guys, for you when you're lined up, right? You're lined up along the third base line and kids are just coming up to you one after one after one after one, asking you to sign. I mean, I'm sure you guys have signed crazy stuff. Maybe talk about the craziest thing you've ever signed, but also, what does that feel like? Because as a parent, it's weird to even put that hat on for me, but as a parent and even as a fan, that is probably one of the coolest things I think the Rogues do. So talk about what that's like for you as a player, though, and how much that maybe means to you.
It means extremely a lot, because growing up, I never really went to games and things like that. I really never had a collegiate team to go to. I mean, we had the Catfish in Columbus, Georgia, but they got bought out, but I never really had the experience to go meet somebody older and have them sign something for me, if that makes any sense. It feels great to have each kid walk up and look to you like you're in the major leagues and we're still trying to fight to get there. It's a great feeling to see the genuine smiles on their face, the parents, the communication we have, and really build that bond with the parents and the kids that also come out to the camp. So I really love the atmosphere and enjoy it every time I sign the ball.
Yeah. Omar, how about you? What kind of comes to mind?
Oh, honestly, it means pretty much the world to me. I'm growing up in South Texas. My first ever favorite baseball player was an independent baseball player. I mean, he played independently, and his name was Aaron Sis. So, like, I'm a firm believer that if you have a uniform on, and no matter where you're at, no matter where you're playing, who you're playing for, you always have a big spotlight on you, and taking on that role for kids and even young adults and older adults. And we see people out there in line asking for autographs too, and it's also a really fun experience to see, and it's just awesome, and it's very heartwarming, definitely, for sure.
Yeah. Max, how about you?
Oh, I love every second of it. I look forward to it after the games every time. You know, at Medford here, it's like a minor league experience, in my opinion. You know, this is a special place and special people. And like Trey said, you know, seeing the kids' faces light up, and, you know, little do they know, I'm looking back the same way. You know, I think, you know, it's just a great experience. And, you know, it's memories I'll cherish forever. And like you said, the weird things I've signed.
Yeah, weirdest thing you've signed. Yeah.
I've signed a few, like, arms, like a random, just the other night, I signed old buddy's, like, trumpet horn thing. I don't, like, this little noisemaker. And okay. Then I've done, like, purses and, canteens. And
no babies, though, huh?
No baby hands.
Okay, no baby hands.
You might have tried to pull
that. I did try to pull that baby hand on you. Yeah, so. She was not having that.
Yeah,
but
the craziest thing, we also had a sign of, there was some kid, I can't remember his name. He told us his name. He just lifted up his shirt and said, "Can you sign my stomach?" And I'm like, like, I guess so. Okay, just put my name on it. It's like kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's funny, Trey. Okay.
For sure. Right. Don't forget about the Vans. The Vans. We signed some pair of Vans.
I did like the Vans.
You signed some Vans, too?
Yeah, that was cool. I remember that.
Yeah. That was really cool. That's awesome. Hydro Flask. I know my daughter's had her Hydro Flask signed. Yeah.
Phone cases are nice, too. Honestly, phone cases are pretty cool.
Phone cases are nice, too. Okay. So, guys, as we start to wrap up, who or what would you give credit for to where you are now? In life, and not only in life, but in baseball, like, who do you give, you know, not that your life's ending, but you know, you got the scrolling credits, right? Who are you giving the most credit to? Who or what, I guess, would you give the most credit to? Trey, you want to go first on that?
I would give my most credit to,
yeah,
overall, is to, I would say, my mother.
Okay. Why?
Typical answer.
Well, it is, but why mom?
I choose my mom because, like, my mom has been through a lot. I mean, I've been through a lot as a family and things of that nature, like separate times, close times, heated moments and things of that. But I always look at my mom and I'd be like, how? Like, how are you able to have the whole world crashing on your head, the building's falling, the floor is lava, and you still have the ability to keep pushing, keep trekking, even though your back is against the wall, you're always trying to climb up and find something to do. So I always look at her and be like, wow. Like, yes, my mom was not a single mother growing up and things of like that, but she carried herself as if she's the only one that can take care of all five of her kids. Like, I'm four or five. So I look at it and I choose and live my life the same way. No matter my back against the wall, I got to find a way to fight for the people I love. If I'm down and don't got nothing, I still try to give. If I don't got no other options, I still try to help out and lend my hand out, even though my hand is all I have to lend. So I always live and choose to live my life like that. So I teach other people the same. When I teach or speak my philosophical ways to people about, granted, like, I'm a opposite type of guy. People always say blood is thicker than water, but I say you need water to survive. Or, yeah, he's my friend, but, oh, I always help him no matter what I need. Like, you never know who can, like, bless you if you give blessings out.
Yeah. That's awesome. Trey, a couple things come to mind. So when you're out on the diamond and you're thinking about when you're maybe having a bad game, because, again, you guys have all alluded to the fact that bad games come. It's just a reality of the game. Do you ever think back to your mom and the struggles that she's had and use that as the motivation to maybe help pull you out of a bad game?
The funny part, I always do. Yes, I instantly do. I always think about my mom. Every time in high school, before every game, she'd send me a paragraph of just encouraging words. Or if I'm doing bad, my mom's not one of the mothers to be like, oh, you'll get it next time. She'd be like, boy, if you don't go out there and do what you know how to do, or, boy, you already know what you're supposed to be doing, go out there and do you. And then that, like, encouraged me, put a smile on my face, even though I can be 0-3 with 3 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I'd be in my head, but I think back and be like, my mom would be like, get right, or tighten up, as we would say back in the South.
Yeah, that's awesome. Omar, how about you? You mentioned, you know, you've been praying before the game and, right. And all of that. So does faith come into kind of your story of where you give credit?
Oh, 100%. That wasn't be my first answer. I give it all up to God, honestly. If it wasn't for him, I'm a firm believer I wouldn't be here right now, or doors would not be opening up because if it wasn't for him. So, God is definitely one, my number one overall, where I feel like if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. He's blessed me enough with the talent, and, you know, to show out for him and to show others. But other than that, God's definitely my number one. But I'm going to go ahead and also say my family. Family is really important to me. And as a family, we kind of like join in as a whole. We don't tend to separate. I tell every single day we talk to each other, call each other, whatever it may be. But my father's just he's just an unbelievable man. He's definitely given a lot to me and to my family. So my dad, I would say, is also my physical number one overall as well. So
yeah, I got to meet your dad this summer. He's a pretty cool cat.
Oh yeah, my dad's he's something else. But you know, I love him. He's a great personality, and people tend to say I'm a spitting image of him. But my dad's just—he's so awesome. He's hardworking. He's very humbling, but he's also one of those guys where if I don't do my part, like Trey was saying, oh boy, it's not a force to be reckoned with. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I could see that, but I think it also I think you have a lot of attributes of your dad. Mm-hmm. As you said, you're a spinning image of him. I think your heart comes out the way you are with the kids and the way you prepare for the game. I think your heart comes out in that, and that I would think would be a direct reflection of who your dad is.
Oh, yeah,
passing down to you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Max, how about you? Where does Matt get credit to, or whom?
I have to piggyback a little bit on Omar. Definitely God number one. I mean, he's ordered my steps. He's blessed me with the ability to, you know, even be able to play the game that I love. And, you know, he had a plan for me before I was even born. So, you know, he ultimately is, you know, hands down number one. But number two, I'll say my family as a whole for, you know, multiple reasons. You know, my dad first, just because, you know, he's a crazy, crazy man. He sacrifices everything, you know, for the family. He's always, you know, willing to work no matter what the situation. And you know, he's always challenged me to be a man, and you know what it means to be a man. And you know, I remember in Australia, I didn't really comprehend what he was doing, but you know, I'm 11 years old, and he comes up to me and says, "You know, Max, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get you back so you can play Little League." At that point, I had no idea what Little League was. I just didn't have any idea. But he ended up doing that, moving me back. You know, I played baseball, and you know, ever since then, he's challenged me to you know pursue what I love, and that is baseball. And you know, he's made a lot of sacrifices, a lot of travel, you know, a lot of road trips. You know, I've, like I said, East Coast, West Coast, and they still don't miss games hardly ever. My family's special. My mom, you know, always doing laundry, always, you know, making sure I got everything for the road trips, you know. Giving me a little bit of baby treatment, but, you know, hey. And then, you know, here recently, you know, my time I thought was over for baseball. You know, I thought, senior year ended, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I was talking to Sean, and, you know, luckily my fiance, she supported me even coming out here, because, you know, this point in time I thought it was time to be, you know, just a normal adult, you know, get the job figured out, get the life figured out. But
wait on that if you can, as much as possible, not to interrupt you, but yeah, wait on that.
No, of course. And you know, my family still supports me. They want to see me succeed, and you know, I give them all the credit in the world. And you know, having that support just means so much to me. And you know, ultimately I'm coming out here pursuing what I love, but you know, I want them to know I love them right back, and appreciate everything that they've done.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I appreciate everything you gave today. I like to end my show with kind of a game. You guys are baseball players, so we got to play a game, right? It's only fitting. Trey, it's in my left hand, but we're not. It's an inanimate object, so
yeah, personal items don't count.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking. So, Trey, you're gonna roll the die, and likewise, Omar, and then Max, and all that. So, roll it first, and I'm gonna make a note of what you get, and then we'll go from there. So, go ahead and roll it. See what you get. Trey got a 5. Okay. Omar, what do you get? This is going to be weird. I was really hoping you were going to get a 3, Omar. I thought that would be just yeah, fitting. Well, but you got a 1, right? Yeah, number 1 in your heart. Okay, Max. So okay. You're going to get a 4, right, Max? Is that how that works?
Am I really about to roll and not know what the game is?
Yeah, exactly. That's the fun part.
We'll live life on the edge.
Yep, absolutely. We're living life on the edge. Four, and Max got a 4. Oh, man, nice. Pronostication at its best.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if you guys noticed the cup, but it's not a Vanguard cup. And Trey, are you undecided still, by the way? Just if we can close the loop on that.
Am I?
For college, where are you going to play college ball at?
Unfortunately, I didn't look in time, so I should have started back in May.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm going to go and work now, work during the fall.
Okay.
Do a little work, get some experience in my field that I'm trying to major in.
All right.
And probably find a school in the spring.
Okay. I just wanted to close the loop on that. So that's all. You guys have been recruiting heavily hard for Vanguard, if I'm not mistaken, right?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. Just we got to close the loop on that. Okay. So here we go. So Trey, you're first, leading off again, like always. Favorite thing to taste? Favorite thing to taste?
Like, is that anything?
Yeah.
I say, like, the taste of like a good soda, like, just not a soda, but like a icy, like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like a Slurpee. Yeah, like, we call those Slurpees out west. Yeah, Slurpees. Yeah, that's what we call them. They're at 7-Eleven.
Yes.
Okay, Max, could you get him one, maybe?
Of course.
All right. We could pitch in for that, maybe. Okay. So like an icy.
Yeah, it's like the good taste of like a good mixture of ices. Like I like blackberry and watermelon. Like those flavors.
We don't. Oh, yes. Ooh, huckleberry. There we go.
One good story about that.
Yeah.
Went to Buffalo Wild Wings. It was me. It was back in Florence, Darlington when we had played at Tech. This was me and Max first met. A lot of people don't know. I've been knowing Max for 3 to 4 years now. So we went to Buffalo Wild Wings one night. It was me, him, and three of our other teammates. And then we was just ordering. And then normally people, like, I asked for lemonade. I like to drink lemonade a lot. So I asked her, I was like, what typical flavors you got? She said strawberry, peach, blueberry, and then she said huckleberry. So I said, hold up now, wait a minute. I said, I ain't never heard of no huckleberry before. I said, may I get that one, please?
Yes.
So she bring it to us, and I drink it, and I said, I put my hand up to like God, like, whoever made this need a raise in here right now.
That's a great story. Absolutely. I love that. I am not a huckleberry fan, but man, I love that. But I'm an Arnold Palmer kind of guy. But I've raised my hand a few times to a few of those because they've been good. All right. So Omar, you got a one because you're, you know, we got the number still. You're 13. So we got the one in it, right? Yeah, that is kind of true. So we'll look at that. All right. How do you want people to see you?
How do I physically or?
Yeah, just how do you interpret that? I'm leaving that up to you. It's a game we like to call senseless. So these are all senses. Nice senses. Yeah, there we go.
How do I want people to see me?
Yep.
To be honest, I kind of want people to I don't want this to be taken the wrong way or anything, but I kind of want to be like that person, like, hey, like, that guy just doesn't care. Like,
yeah,
like he just is
no
bothered.
I think I know what you're saying. Yeah, let me help you out, right?
Yeah,
you don't want to be viewed as someone who, you know, you're not bothered by what people think about you.
Yeah, exactly.
You really don't want to be worrying about like, oh, do they like me, do they not like me, did they, you know, check my Instagram, did they not, did they comment? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I'd rather be I'm more on the independent side. I mean, social media is not really my thing, but yeah, just being just who I am, and I got it from my dad again. He's always said, don't ever let your enemy show you. What do you say? Don't ever let them know you're sweating, or don't ever let them know you're hurt. Like, don't ever, because once an enemy sees that, and they pounce on you, and they're on top of it. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's why we call him ICO.
Yeah, ICO. Hey, he's just ice. All right, Max, number four. Here we go. Ready? One thing you love to hear.
Oh, man. I hear a lot.
I know. That's what I was saying, you know.
I'm going to come off cliche right here. Nothing better than the old sweet spot wood crack over the fence. Yeah.
Are you going baseball
on
me?
I'm going baseball.
Oh, my gosh.
But if I'm going to speak recently, since you bring up the old first base work, the splits, I always crack up when people see me do splits and kind of like, how's he doing the splits? He's too big. And all that. That really makes me laugh hearing that lately. That's new to me.
I think we need to talk to the Rogues maybe about getting a tailor just in case, like on staff or, you know, maybe somewhere nearby, just in case. Off chance.
Off chance what?
We don't want a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh.
That's all. That's what I'm saying.
Like the news channel said the other day, apparently I'm wearing yoga pants underneath my baseball pants.
Nice.
Yeah, we made the necessary precautions prior to the season.
Okay, good. Good. We got that established, so that's awesome. Guys, I just want to say thanks again. I want to give you guys just one last chance to really maybe kind of talk to family or talk to anybody you want. This is your moment. So whatever you want to say, I'm going to give you your moment to say, and then I'll kind of wrap things up. How's that sound? Trey, you want to go first?
I'd like to thank and appreciate everybody that supported the Met for Rogues. That's one. Two, we love the fans. We appreciate the support that y'all do, no matter if it's here, listening to the radio. I always say every time people come up to talk to us about the games that they hear them on the radio, I love that y'all are so in tune and focused on like really coming out and supporting us. I like to thank all my fam. And like people always think fam is like bloodline. I see fam as friends, people who's helped me out, people that's like just led me on my way throughout my entire life. Obviously, like to thank God for one, for like giving me the ability and the talent to be super fast and funny at the same time. And that's about it.
Fast and funny, Trayvon Dorsey. Omar, how about you?
I'm gonna go ahead and just thank all the Rogue Nation, just the supporters, the fans, the kids, just even our interns and our employees out here on the field. I mean, during the games, we see, you know, everybody's working and doing their part and just, you know, trying to make all the little things work and make the little things happen. And we just very appreciate everything. If it wasn't for you guys, obviously there wouldn't be a Medford Rogues organization. But yeah, I just want to thank you all for all the supporting and all the encouraging you guys do. And my family, all my family and my girlfriend, I miss you all, love you all. Just appreciate all the support you guys do for me when I'm traveling and away from everybody. And just it's really heartwarming knowing that you guys are all on my side, and just love you all, and just hope you're having a good one.
Max, how about you?
For me, I just definitely want to thank God for, you know, steps leading here in Medford, and you know, thankful for my family with all the love and support, allowing me to be here and chase my dream. And you know, Rogue Nation, I'm telling you, it's I've played a lot of places for a lot of different reasons, and you know, it's going to be a tearjerker maybe leaving this place. I'll tell you what, you all are so special to me, and you know, whether I've had one conversation, you know, for one game, or I talked to, you know, some of the fans, you know, multiple times, I'll never forget a single one of you. And you know, this is a special place, and I, from bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
Yeah, guys, again, I just want to say thanks again for coming on, giving up your time today to do this. So coming up Christmas in July, we're going to have some cool jerseys. So those are going to be auctioned off. Are you guys excited about seeing your jersey get auctioned off?
That's the crazier part about it. I've never experienced nothing like this. And like Omar said, like, it's like a culture shock that somebody don't even know me as far as they can throw me wants my jersey so much. And like most of the time I have conversations with everybody in the field, but it's just a great feeling this year. Like, I don't care how much it went for because it's a good cause, just the ability and the fact that somebody else benefited from something that I did. I just love the feeling that I'm actually out here doing good and helping instead of just being out here, just being a body on the field.
Absolutely. Omar, how about you? What are you feeling like when your jersey gets auctioned off?
Oh, it's so awesome. I mean, like Trayvon was saying, and even what I was saying earlier, just like the unbelievable encouragement you give kids and even parents. Just wearing your jersey is pretty much like a superhero, you know. And just like how we were kids and putting on a Batman mask or putting on a Superman costume or whatever it may be, I'm sure it feels the same way as for those kids. So it's such a blessing and an honor to even be privileged to get our jerseys auctioned. And Christmas in July, oh boy, there's a special treat. I'm not going to say what it is.
Yes, there is.
There's going to be a little uniform barrier breaking, so we'll see how that goes.
All right.
I would like to say it could be a first, never done before.
Oh, yeah. I think baseball history, right?
It could be.
It might be.
There we go. All right. So a preview for that. So Christmas is in July, July 20th. Come be a part of that. Access is also going to be here on hand. Tickets are still available at MedfordRogues.com. I invite you and encourage you to go get tickets. You don't want to miss this opportunity to see these guys play potentially for the last time in custom jerseys. Actually, it is the last time in custom jerseys this season. So we want to make sure that you get to be a part of that. And guys, as we kind of wrap up the show, I just want to say thank you thank you again. I know I've said that throughout, but I think it bears repeating that thank you again, guys, for doing this. I always like to say when we walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. So thank you again so much to my guests, Trayvon, Omar, and Max, of course. And this has again been Other People's Shoes.